السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات، وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. يا رسول الله درود شريف، اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد واصحابه وبارك وسلم. My most respected علماء اكرام، وفاز اكرام، our dear elders and brothers, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his innumerable favors upon us, and we send salawat and salutations on our beloved master and our leader Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to guide us and to help us and to correct us and to advise us and to counsel us in all our affairs, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the one who is the giver of guidance and the giver of tawfiq. And he is also the one who, if a person is not attentive, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala also deprives a person of hidayat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and protect us from deprivation. In today's short discussion, we will discuss a very simple piece of advice, but a very, perhaps we can say, effective form or formula that we all can practice on a daily basis. Shaykhul Islam, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Hafizahullah Ta'ala, a very well-known and renowned personality of our ummah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lengthen his shadow, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him good health, he has shared one practice of his that he does on a daily basis, which he has found very simple but very effective. And this is what our deen is about. Our deen, ad-deenu yusrun. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith sharif that deen of Islam, to practice on Islam, is something that is easy. It is not meant to be difficult. It is not meant to tire a person out, but it is meant to be simple and effective. So therefore we find that the pious personalities of the ummah, the ulama who spend their lives in teaching, in learning, and they have vast amount of knowledge, and their knowledge is also inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are able to give us such advice and formulas and directives that make it easy for us also to acquire the same effect or similar effect, and for us to be able to own and find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's closeness and love. And every practice of deen and of Islam is premised, or it is meant for a person to derive the closeness of Allah ta'ala and to become close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the two drivers behind all our a'mal. An amal of a person, a good action of a person, is not so that a person can become more rich, or a person can become more knowledgeable, or a person can become more famous and well known. But every amal of a person is to derive the closeness and the pleasure and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Mufti Muhammad Taqi Saab advises that, he says that in my day, and those who will know Mufti Saab and know his achievements in Islam will know that he is one of the foremost scholars in the world today, who has done groundbreaking work in almost every facet of Islam and deen. And he is someone who is honored and revered by scholars and people all around the world. So the extent and the reach of his work is something that is phenomenal. It is incredible. It is something that even groups of people cannot achieve. And this is one of the shi'ar and the signs of the ulama of the past and the scholars of the past, that they had done such work with such depth and with such sincerity that even if a large group of people come together, they cannot achieve that level of khidmat and service and work that they had done for the service of the Ummah, for the benefit of the Ummah, for the Muslims. So he says that in my day I am very busy and occupied. I have all forms of engagements and inquiries and meetings and responsibilities. And therefore, at each juncture, I have an urge or I feel that I must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His assistance in this particular work of mine. So for example, if he is doing some writing and in that writing he needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance, then a person would perform 2 rakat salatul hajat. If a person finds that he is making some error in his day, then he needs to make istighfar, he performs salatul tawbah. And if a person achieves something in his day, then he performs 2 rakats of salatul shukr as gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says that I cannot find the opportunity to do all of this on a continuous basis. So the advice that he has given, and it is his practice, that he says in the beginning of the day, I perform 2 rakats of salat at the beginning of all my tasks, and I make 5 intentions, 5 niyats with this 2 rakats of salat, that covers the base for all the activities and things that I'm doing in my day. So those 5 intentions that are made at the beginning of the day with the 2 rakats of salah, the first intention is salatut tawbah. Salatut tawbah. The salah with the intention of repentance, of sincere forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking Allah ta'ala's clemency. The second niyat is salatul haja. Salatul haja means salah that is performed when a person is in need of something and is desirous of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him something, then he performs salatul haja. That's the second niyat. The third niyat is salatul shukr. The salah that a person performs to express gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth niyat is salatul isti'ana. Salatul isti'ana means to seek assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To seek Allah tabarak, draw from Allah's help and Allah's mercy in a person's work in his day. And the fifth niyat is salatul istikhara. Salatul istikhara means to seek khair, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for goodness in everything that we are doing. Now if we look at these 5 niyats, they are meant to cover all the activities that a person will do in a day. Everything that we come across and everything that we experience and all the challenges that we face and all the barriers that come about in a person's day are covered in the 5 intentions that a person makes for this 2 rakats of salah. And in nafil salah, it is permissible to make multiple niyats. For a fard salah, a person has to make an exclusive niyat. He cannot make another niyat with that niyat in a fard salah. So if a person is performing Jumu'ah Salah, you cannot make niyat of Salatul Shukr or Salatul Tawbah with the Jumu'ah Salah. But in a Nafil Ibadah, like how in a Nafil Tawaf or in a Nafil Qurbani, a person can make multiple niyats because it is being done from the side of the person. It is done of your own accord and it is not an obligation. So this is the difference between something that is obligatory and something that is optional and Nafil. So these 5 niyats, if we just have to examine them for the purposes of our discussion, we find that firstly, the thing that we are most in need of in our life, and the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks most forward to from a servant, is acknowledgement of our wrong, acknowledgement of our weakness, acknowledgement of our errors. And this is what tawbah is about. This is what seeking sincere forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is meant, that we ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for sincere forgiveness and we make this salatul tawbah, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for all the errors that we will make in the day. And tawbah is something that sometimes we think, no, only if I'm a gunahgar, then I may make tawbah. Only if I'm doing lots of sin, then I find the opportunity for tawbah. But actually, tawbah is something that the pious and those who are very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do this more regularly than anyone else. Tawbah is one maqam. It is one stage that a person enjoys in spirituality. That the more a person begins to understand and recognize his weakness, his insignificance, and his defaults or his faults with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more a person finds the need and the urgency to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and clemency. So those who are very close to Allah, those who have achieved the position of qurb and proximity, they have mastered the art of tawbah. They are the ones who are steeped in tawbah. They are immersed in tawbah all the time. And tawbah is something that they do very regularly and they do very consciously. So if we internalize this ibadah and this act of tawbah and perform salatul tawbah at the beginning of the day, then we are actually internalizing a very important exercise. And the objective of ibadat, why do we do dhikr? Why do we perform salah? Why do we do ibadat? The objective of ibadat, one is, of course, where a person gains reward. But reward is the beginning purpose, or it is the first door to a reason as far as a person's ibadat is concerned. The actual purpose of ibadat, the actual purpose of zikr, the actual purpose of everything that a person does, is ultimately for it to bring effect in a person's actions and character and words and deeds. So if a person is making dhikr, a person should assess that the dhikr that I am making, what effect is it bringing in my life? How has it improved my speech? How has it changed my demeanor, my character, my temperament, my habits, my manners? This is the real objective of ibadat. One person can be making ibadat for his whole life, but if that ibadat and that worship did not have any effect, did not rub off onto his akhlaq, onto his deeds, onto his ways, onto his personality, then that ibadat was restricted in the realm of reward or of an outward form of a shell. But it did not take a form of a spirit. It did not become internalized in a person's system. And it remained as an outward form of action that gained a person validity. Like you performed the salah, right? You read Fajr namaz, tick the box. Person read Fajr, alhamdulillah. But did that Fajr come into the person's life? Did that Fajr rub off onto his public and private life and his transactions and his actions and his deeds and his work and his ways? That is something that needs to be assessed and evaluated. So tawbah has that effect and that impact that it brings into our life, a sense of consciousness, a sense of insignificance. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned in the Hadith Sharif that At-ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kaman la dhanbala. A person who has made sincere tawbah is like a person who is free from sin. And inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. A person draws Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love and mahabbat through tawbah. The more tawbah a person makes, the more Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's qurb and his closeness and his love is attained. And furthermore, At-ta'ibu habibullah, in the Hadith Sharif it comes. A person who becomes steeped in tawbah, he becomes immersed in tawbah, he becomes a person of tawbah, then he becomes the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see just that in this one intention, in the first intention, how much of benefit there is and how much of lesson there is. Ibadat and salah and whatever we do is actually a sabak and a lesson that we're learning. The everyday salah of a person is not a dry routine, it's not a dry ritual. It is something that is teaching us right from takbir-e-ula. In fact, right from before the person comes to the masjid. As Imam Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, a person should make tayari and preparation for salah long before salah. Half an hour before salah, 15 minutes before salah, a person should start preparing his mind. And he should start conditioning himself for this important meeting of coming into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming to the place where he will attain Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's love and muhabbat. So, with tawbah, a person has a very good start to his day. He begins the day with the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the understanding of his reality. He gains ma'rifat of Allah and he gets ma'rifat of his self. Ma'rifat means to recognize, to understand, to realize. He begins to realize who he really is. And he begins to also realize who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly is. And then he comes on to the next niyat. Now all of this is being achieved from the two rakats of salah that a person does consciously in the day. We can see how effective it is. The second niyat he is making is the niyat of haja. We are all in need. Wallahu al-ghani wa antum al-fuqara. Allah says he is ghani. He is the owner and he is the one who is the most wealthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses the treasures. And antum al-fuqara. We are the fuqara, we are the needy ones. We are the ones who are beggars. Our real haysiyat, our real condition is we are beggars. A person may think in this world he is something. He owns something, he has something. That's a feeling. That's a condition. A person thinks that. He assumes that. But the reality is what? The reality is that we are beggars. We are seekers. We are all. And therefore, Salatul Haja is an expression of that condition of us being in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how much are we in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? لا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us this dua, that we are in need of Allah at every breath, and Allah should not leave us even for the blink of an eye. لا تكلني إلى نفسي. Oh Allah, don't leave my affair to me. Don't put me in control of myself, even for the blink of an eye. What does this mean? How deep does this go to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supporting us. Allah is caring us. Allah is looking at us. Allah is everything towards us. So the Salatul Haja, and there is a beautiful Hadith Sharif and there is a dua, but we won't go into the details of all of that. That we can even read when we are performing the Salatul Haja towards the end. Before a person makes salam, you can include this dua. La ilaha illa wal halimul kareem. Subhanallah rabbil arshil azim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. As'aluka mujibati rahmatik wa azaima maghfiratik. Wa salamata min kulli ithm wal ghanimata min kulli bir. La tada'a lana dhanban illa ghafarta. Wa la hamman illa farrajta. Wa la hajatan min hawaijid dunya. Ya laka ridan illa qadaytaha ya arhamar rahimeen. This dua has been mentioned in the Hadith Sharif. And it contains everything. All worries, stress, anxiety, depression, problems, challenges, blockages, whatever we talk about in today's time, the whole mental sphere, the whole psychological sphere, the whole emotional sphere, everything about our life is included in this dua-i-haja. So what we are saying is that the prescriptions of the sunnah are so precise and concise, yet so effective. It doesn't take a person long to do all of these things. But there has to be a desire and there has to be a consciousness and there has to be practice. So the second is Salatul Haja. The third salah, the third niyat that a person performs with the salah at the beginning of the day is the niyat of shukr. The niyat of gratitude. And the bab of shukr is known as the door of ma'rifat. The greater a person's shukr, the greater you become a grateful person, the greater the gratitude, the greater the attitude, if we can put it that way. The greater the gratitude, the greater we will have that attitude that we're supposed to have towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ni'mats and bounties. And what is that attitude that shukr brings into a person? The attitude of humility. The attitude and the approach of being undeserving. The attitude of being thoroughly grateful, truly grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every ni'mat. The more a person makes shukr to Allah, the more Allah gives that person the recognition of that bounty and the recognition of the giver of that bounty. And that is what we are seeking. With whatever Allah has given us and what we have, we need to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness through it, through Allah's creation. We must gain the admiration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is achieved through dawam-e shukr. A person becoming grateful, a person becoming praiseworthy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are two actions that can take a person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very quickly. One is when a person is enjoying the ni'mat of Allah. Whatever ni'mat we are enjoying the ni'mat of Allah all the time. For a person to acknowledge that ni'mat and bounty and to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And the other side of it is when a person is in need of something from Allah, then a person turns to supplication and dua. So a person is either going to be in a state of shukr and gratitude, not in a state of complaining and negativity, or a person is going to be in a state of supplication. Oh Allah, I'm having this problem. Oh Allah, I'm in need of this. Oh Allah, show me direction. Oh Allah, help me. That's going to make a person of dua. He's going to make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if he's not in a state of dua, then he's in a state of shukr. That Allah, I have this. One is I want this. And one is I have this. You have given me this. I am grateful to you. I am eternally grateful to you. Increase this ni'mat. Preserve this ni'mat. And don't take me to account for this ni'mat and bounty on the day of Qiyamah. How many thoughts have to go to a person's mind when we are enjoying the ni'mats of Allah? It's not my achievement. It is not my possession. It is not my belonging. It's not my thing. It's Allah's ata. It's Allah's giving. And therefore I am humble about it. I'm lowering myself to you, O Allah. I'm grateful to you. I'm undeserving. Ni'mal Amir ala Babil Faqir. A wealthy person, a person who Allah Ta'ala has given ni'mat for, he should be humble to go to the door of the poor person. Ni'mal Amir ala Babil Faqir. Not that the poor person must come to me and ask me and beg me, but I should have that humility to go and seek out the difficulty of that person and be at that person's door and quietly, secretly, with sincerity help that person. These are the qualities that are brought about through shukr. And the third niyat, the fourth niyat that a person makes is salatul isti'ana. Isti'ana means iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. That O Allah, to you alone we worship. This ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha is known as the secret of Surah Al-Fatiha. Allama Razi Rahmatullah has written that if I could write 10,000 points on Surah Al-Fatiha, if Allah gave me time, life and tawfiq, then I would have written 10,000 virtues, 10,000 points on Surah Al-Fatiha alone. Surah Al-Fatiha is Surah to Shifa. It is a surah that we gain internal purification and external and physical cure also. When a person, imam, is reading Surah Al-Fatiha, the niyat that we should make is, oh Allah, give me shifa through Surah Al-Fatiha. If every rakat we make the niyat behind the imam that I'm listening to Surah Al-Fatiha with the niyat of shifa, Allah will purify us, inshallah, through Surah Al-Fatiha. So, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in is actually the secret of Surah Al-Fatiha. And it is the bedrock of everything that our faith and iman is based upon. Oh Allah, you alone we worship. No idols, no deities, no one, nothing else. Wa iyyaka nasta'in. And because we worship you only, we have this conviction that all help will come to you, to us from you. All help will come to us from you alone. Wa iyyaka nasta'in. So salatul isti'ana. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all our needs. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala who has mentioned, I am not so response to my dua. As much as I am concerned about the ability to continue with my supplication. Dua is such a thing, we don't say we made dua now, Allah didn't answer it. I'm waiting for this dua. So long I'm making dua, Allah Ta'ala didn't answer this dua. I'm not getting what I'm asking for. Dua is not that we wait for response. But dua is that we are grateful to Allah Ta'ala for giving us the ability to ask Him and to supplicate to Him. So salatul isti'ana, we seek all our assistance and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the fourth niyat. And the fifth intention that we make with this two rakats of salah at the beginning of the day is salatul istikhara. Everyone will say, we already married, we made our istikhara, and therefore we not need of any istikhara, Mawlana, unless someone is making another niyat, second niyat he's making. But anyway, istikhara is something that the mashayikh and the pious people make for every activity of this. Everything that they want to do. Even on the road, when you're driving and you're trying to go to a certain place, make istikhara. You're going to the shopping center to buy something, you're going to do a deal, you're going to buy something small, groceries also. Allahumma khirli wakhtarli. I've got the money in my pocket, I've got the card, everything is with me, I'm set. But I'm going with this intention and niyat that, oh Allah, you put khair in my decision. You let me do the right purchase. You make my purchase beneficial. And whatever I pay, purchase must be beneficial and must have khair. So istikhara is something that we can do all the time. And we should do all the time. Of course, we will include this niyat in this two rakats because we're not going to be making two rakats all the time. If a person can make additional, it's fine. So, salatul istikhara is to seek khair from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in many du'as, he has mentioned this aspect of khair. Allahumma inni as'aluka min al-khair kulli, and lots of du'as of khair, seeking khair from Allah. Because we do not know what there is khair in. We do not know in which decision there is khair. We do not know in which word there is khair. Sometimes we are with a client, we are with people, we are talking, we are counseling, we are helping, we are guiding. But we do not know which statement of ours, where there is effect, where there is khair, when there is impact. In whatever work we are doing, we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and khair. So in conclusion, we have taken this beautiful advice of Shaykhul Islam, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Taqi Sahib, hafizahullah ta'ala, a practice which he does every day in his busy life, and that is to perform 2 rakats of salah at the beginning of the day before starting one's work, with 5 niyats and 5 intentions. The first intention is salatul tawbah. The second intention is salatul haja. The third intention is salatul shukr. The fourth intention is salatul isti'ana, seeking Allah's help. And the fifth intention is salatul istikhara, seeking khair and goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us the opportunity, the tawfiq, the guidance to practice upon this very easy and effective practice. Ad-deenu yusrun, our deen is very easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made life easy for us, has made deen easy for us to practice. If we do these little things, these things will become the means of us attaining Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qurb. And this is a life lesson. This is not something that a person reads 2 rakat salah with the intention, he read the salah, he made the niyat and khalas. But there are life lessons in everything that we do. And if a person ponders and begins to reflect upon each aspect and element that we have discussed today, we will find that it will take a lifetime and we will have not completed that lesson, or benefiting from that lesson, internalizing that lesson, enjoying that lesson, and making that lesson become a means of a lot of goodness in our life. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant one and all of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.